The University of Illinois' Institute on Government and Public Affairs has unveiled its own plan to save CSERS and possibly the other public pensions. What are the chief differences between the Institute's plan and that of the governor?
Well, there are a number of differences, and first maybe the similarities. The Institute's plan and the governor's plan refer to stabilization versus reform. And President Peters has talked about this a lot, too. This is more of a stabilization measure. Pension reform is more related to reforming programs that are believed to be necessary to reform, usually downwards, in order to make them more competitive with benchmarks. The normal cost of the state university's retirement system has been around 10.3% for decades, which is relatively modest for a system that is not coordinated with Social Security. And that's a very important aspect of this plan, as mentioned by the IGPA, that this is the baseline retirement security plan for university employees. And so, the national contribution rate for Social Security is 6.2%, and the state has not had to pay that. Instead, if you look at almost any benchmark for large employers, 10.3% is a relatively modest all-in total investment level in pension benefits. And so stabilization is the appropriate word for this. The IGPA proposal did highlight the importance of a stable funding plan. The governor's proposal does the same, a very similar thing. In fact, it indicates that the funding plan would have a similar priority of obligation for state funds as bonds, and that's very positive and very important. That alone will have a big effect, we think, on stabilizing the pension systems and the budgeting process related to these contributions. But thereafter, there are a wide number of differences. Now, the IGPA proposal did speak to an increase of employee contributions, a 3% increase, along with a shift of normal costs. But both of those would be phased in, and the limit of normal costs shifted to employers would be 3% as well under the IGPA proposal, versus the entire normal cost shift that we see in the governor's proposal. So that's a one key aspect of differentiation between the two. The governor's proposal did not requires choices, a loss of a reduction of benefits under any of the options selected. And the IGPA document prioritizes the preservation of already accrued, vested, established benefits pursuant to the state constitution. The reason for that is to assure stabilization of the workforce, of our human resources, because the cost of losing and not being able to recruit human capital assets in higher education is great and could rival some of the cost implications of the pension system. So those are some of the differences. The IGPA plan is more of a shared model of inputs in terms of the budgeting of the pension plan, and whereas the governor's proposal appears to shift a lot of that, most of it, to the employees and the employing organizations in exchange for a funding plan.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, President Peters and you have touted this idea as a possible fix, one that might be the better, the least worst option?
The IGPA?
Yeah.
Yes, we have discussed the IGPA proposal as a well-thought-out, reasonable, and viable plan that is consistent with our priorities of preserving employee benefits that they have relied upon, of creating real fund sources to help offset normal costs so that the state can allocate assets toward the funding plan, and then the hybrid aspect, the future-looking components of the IGPA plan also take account of our need to be competitive in recruiting our faculty and staff in the national markets.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the IGPA proposal does seem to be the most serious compromise proposal out there, the one that's getting the most attention and support in the system. But again, I'm not a lawyer, but when I look at the Constitution, I do see changes to current workers' benefits, which could draw a constitutional challenge. Do I understand correctly?
Oh, it would appear as such. And in talking with employee organizations and others, it's certainly as presented, because of the requirement to make choices, all of which have an effect on benefits. In exchange for a funding plan, which is a good thing, but a funding plan is already an obligation of the state, it would appear that it would implicate already accrued benefits. And that could have certainly have implications with respect to the language in the Constitution.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you would like to add?
Well, I think, you know, if it's relevant, that you know, we see that the governor's plan, the IGPA proposal, all of these speak to the scope and depth of this crisis. All of these, even Senate Bill 512, which was active in the fall session last year, demonstrate that some set of options and alternatives must be put together to stabilize this situation. And it's in the best interests of participants, of retirees, of the employing organizations, and the state, certainly. And so we're going to continue working with our leaders and with the other sectors that are involved to work on options and alternatives. We're open to that, and we believe that that a solution can be accomplished in a thoughtful way. And so we'll continue to keep our employees informed as much as we can, and we encourage employees to carefully watch this. We're at a point where this is kind of entered a new phase in terms of the development of a solution in Springfield. And so we'll. It's important that all participants monitor this carefully as we go forward.
Off the top of your head, how many employees, current workers at NIU, would be affected by any change to the pension system?
We have approximately 4,000 employees that participate in the pension system. And, of course, we have a much larger number overall of retirees who work through their annuitants association and otherwise on this issue. But currently we have about 4,000 employees. The Tier 1, these changes would apply to what's referred to as Tier 1, which was the defined benefit plan in existence prior to January 1, 2011, when Tier 2 took effect. And so there's a great number of current and past employees who have vested service in Tier 1.
Stephen Cunningham is the Vice President for Administration and Human Resources at Northern Illinois University. Thanks very much.
Thank you.